This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Still talking about the Nick Caley coordinatorship and how, you know, the trust that he's put in CJ and Jerod Johnson. And I think it's fair to say that we took a fairly optimistic approach of, like, hearing that, at least that, you know, it seems like what they are going to tailor is they are going with a, you know, custom article in a way, right? That this is a custom-made offense, you know, that it will be tailored to CJ. But I will say, you can very reasonably point to the part that is disconcerting, which is, hey, man, you ain't bringing a staff, and typically you bring in a staff because you want people that know how to implement what you're going to do, which, again, we're going into a draft where we don't actually know what he's trying to implement. Like, in theory, we've made some hypotheses. We don't actually know what the offense looks like when you get onto the field.
I don't know is that disconcerting?
It is for me. I would be lying if I said it wasn't.
He doesn't have, like, his guys.
That's a little to me. That's a little troubling to me.
Yeah,
because, like, we have no idea what this guy's offense is.
Well, not only that, but he didn't even bring in his, like, quote unquote his guys.
To me,
that's one. Yeah,
Jerry Shaplinski.
He brought in one.
To me, that make it feel like it's somebody else's hire.
Yeah,
like somebody that's familiar with the. And I ain't trying to go the whole Patriot South type thing.
Don't get many.
You don't have to. No, we picked up on it.
Yeah, no. It seemed like it's like, oh, I know a guy that knows what we're trying to do right now. Yeah. We could just place that one guy. He could bring his buddy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Or maybe the offense is so intuitive a caveman could do it, right? Like, just whoever y'all got there is cool. They know how to do football. We gonna make it shake.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the very least, the people that are there, he's getting involved. But yeah, it is worth acknowledging. But yeah, man. They're I'm still very much in wait and see.
Should be.
There's the cautious optimism, but the caution is absolutely there.
Yeah.
Cautious optimism also, I think, fairly describes how a lot of people are going into tonight's game two, Rockets, Golden State Warriors, because the Rockets had a fantastic defensive plan, and for the most part, it was cool, except for the fact that Steph Curry did his thing, and actually, in a relatively quiet way, Jimmy Butler also did his thing, and you lose 95-85, just not enough offense. Offense definitely needs to come, and sometimes you just kind of want one guy to go out there and just win you a game in the same way that in game two of Clippers, Nuggets, Kawhi Leonard did. And it's probably unfair. Not probably. It is unfair to go, all right, Rockets, which one of y'all want to be Kawhi Leonard tonight, right? Which one of y'all just want to be a robot
that gets to
a spot and just knocks down shots at an unfair and unreasonable pace?
And contested and everything you can imagine and defense.
And leaning and all this. Off balance, all that. Probably not fair, but do the Rockets have anyone capable of putting up that particular type of performance, one of those standout performances? And is it even fair to assume that that's necessary?
Oh, I think it's absolutely necessary.
Just a singular, hey, here's 35. I mean, he put up, 39? Yeah. Here's 35 points by a single dude who's going to carry your offensive output.
I think it's absolutely necessary. And all you need for evidence is, like, the last 30 years of NBA basketball. I mean, that's all you need to see. And especially the last week. You know, every single team has a guy. It doesn't have to be Kawhi Leonard, but has a guy that can just, in essence, put the team on your shoulders, or at least just change the way the game flow is going, because you're scoring and you're putting pressure on the opponent, and you're a factor that they have to deal with on every possession. That is the number one thing the Rockets have to do. I'm not greedy. You don't have to give me 39. Give me 28 or 30. Is that greedy? Give me 28 or 30. Someone.
I don't know if I'll call it greedy. I feel like you went to the plate a few times. Like you went back to the buffet a little bit.
But you got
to
have that guy.
I'm not certain. Like, I think especially when you talk about the elite level defense that the Rockets can deploy, and I do feel like they can deploy elite level defense, right? you can, if you deploy elite level defense, I think that lowers the standard of absolutely what you need to get offensively. And this, tell me if I'm wilding here, is the way that I'll start this. Alperen Sengun getting 26 did not feel outlandish.
No.
And
no,
so absolutely. if you get low to mid 20s from one dude, give me low to mid 20s from another dude and we can cook.
Yeah.
That's the way that I feel about
it. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm not asking Jalen Green to go off for 35 or anything like that. If he can get his average, which is 21, 20, somewhere around there. If he could get about 25, Fred VanVleet, like, don't give us 10 points, 3 for 8, or 19 yeah. or whatever. If you could give us a solid performance, man, I think they cooking something.
I think they. I disagree with both you guys on this, to a degree.
Well, screw you,
I'm not saying
exactly. Yeah, that's why you're not wearing a shirt. You don't actually believe. Yeah. Me and Figgy wearing the lift off shirts. We bleeding Rockets red today.
Let me rephrase. I'm not saying you're crazy. You can win that way. You can absolutely win that way. You know, the way you talked about with, you know, just give me a little more. You know, from Jalen Green to compliment. You can win with defense, as you talked about. You can win with, you know, maybe knocking down a few more threes, which is what I think Figgy was mainly talking about with Fred VanVleet and some of the other role players. Knock down a few more threes, you know, create some offense.
Don't shoot 3 for 19.
Yeah, yeah. You can win that way. But let's remember this. The Golden State Warriors play really good defense.
They do.
But they still needed Steph. And they still needed, you know, to win that game, they still needed, you know, Jimmy Buckets, you know. So, like, good defense and moving the ball and you know, knocking down a few more threes and your secondary player scoring a few more points, you can win like that. But if you want to win this type of series, you still got to have that dude.
Can I yeah. utilize what you're talking about here? And, of course, it's a 95-point game, so I'm not going to pretend like they yeah. scored a 130-something. You mentioned they needed Steph Curry. Steph Curry put up 31. Alper Sengun had 26.
Yeah.
Right? That's not going to say those exact same, not far.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Butler had 25. And that's mm-hmm. what we're talking about. Like, yeah. if you can get a second dude who can at least take control of this, and of course that second dude feels like it largely has to be Jalen Green.
But
if you can get that second guy in that place.
Because they had 95, and that's 53 points.
Sure.
Like 56 points.
But yeah. I think, yeah. and I'm not talking about this in the individual. I think mm-hmm. that you have to do it together, right? It's a relatively narrow path mm-hmm. to get to the space, but I think you can hit that path if you keep that defense, which I think you can keep that defense, but then you just have to have somebody else go along with Alper. And I think that somebody has to be Jalen Green for the most part, with Fred VanVleet, you know, obviously helping by knocking down shots. But I feel like it has to be those two guys have to show up consistently to kind of together mm-hmm. form up like Voltron into your one kind of superstar performance.
And I'm not saying like you know that like they stink if they don't get these numbers.
No, I agree.
What I'm saying is taking over. You know it when you see it. You know, you can say 25 and 31, et cetera, et cetera. But I know what I saw in that game. You know what you saw in that game. That was those dudes taking over. And that's what the Rockets need, whether it's 25 or 45. They need look at every playoff game that has been played. The winning team has all had a dude go off.
Yeah, and I think that to get to the more conceptual aspect that yeah. I think you're talking about, the conceptual thing for me, and I've said it before, and maybe I'm harping too much on it, mm-hmm. you just got to make the Warriors pay
yeah.
in the way that, you know, that it feels like it's available to make them pay, which is if you can eventually get Steph Curry into a favorable mismatch. You have to make him hurt off of it, mm-hmm. which again, that comes specifically back to Jalen Green. You're right. Like the office space, what do you say you do here? You as a dude, what you do here is you need to be able to, and he's not like the best ISO ball player, but mm-hmm. you need to be able to like drive to the basket, especially when you have that smaller guy on him and like make him pay, especially when you have developed yourself and gotten a little bit better. And the offense around you has mm-hmm. kind of developed around you driving and then kicking out of that. Like, so I think that that's got to be a lot better.
I'm glad
and
you brought that up.
Maybe pushing that further, and I've seen other people talk about this. Shout out to the Lockdown Rockets mm-hmm. podcast, because I think they were talking about this. I think the tempo of this has to be different, which feels counterintuitive to what this team typically mm-hmm. does.
I'm with you, man.
Because they try and, like, with the defense, mm-hmm. what they also try and do is they try and limit possessions, right? They don't want this to be mm-hmm. a high possession game. However, once you get the ball, I think that what we saw in game one is the Warriors were able to just sit back and watch this thing develop at a mm-hmm. slower pace. And I hope that slower pace in the very particular possessions was just the Rockets getting a feel for the postseason and maybe overanalyzing and thinking too much. Feel the game as opposed to like overthinking the game, and then like get into your actions quicker and give yourself an opportunity yeah. to one, get those rebounds, but two, to maybe go with the Warriors not being entirely set in what they're doing.
No, I'm 100% with you on that one. So I guess I'm back in your good graces.
Yeah.
But either way,
all it took.
And here's why. You know what else the Warriors have? A really good coach. You've got a really good coach.
Yeah.
So you've got to counter that. What I said, and I'm looking right at it right now in some of the notes that I was making this morning, push the pace. That's exactly what you're talking about. You know, you have to push the pace. They seemed okay too much to go in a half-court game.
Which is not your advantage in this series at all.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Somehow, some way, you got to find a way to, you know, get those driving kick, as you mentioned, get some open looks, on the perimeter a little easier, and get some one-on-one touches for Şengün. Because when he was – that zone ate him up once they ate their offense up. He still got his. But in terms of, getting more people involved in the offense, because you were throwing into a double team. Because they had a zone. So he was fronted and backed just by the rotation of the zone. Like, no matter which way the ball was swinging, there was a guy behind him that was going to immediately double team him as soon as he got the ball. If you can get them into a man, that changes a little bit.
All right. So one thing I want to ask, because it's always one of the ways that I think about this series or think about playoff series, who could steal you a game? And it's a slightly different, I'm not saying who's going to be your star player that's going to be the metronome by which you do this thing. But who is that guy that just, one of these games in the series, he pops up and it's like, all right, I'm going to give y'all 22 that you were not accounting for. Like, you did not, that was not in the budget. Like, who of this team do you think could give you that, particularly in this game? Because that would be very grateful, very helpful, is if you just get one guy who's like, you know what, I'm knocking down shots today to a crazy degree, and I'm going to have my podium game. Here is 22 points that y'all did not account for in the budget.
I think the easy answer is a man.
You think so?
Yeah. I think because it can be, it's going to tell you that you have pushed the pace.
Yeah,
it's going to tell you that there is some hole that they've gone to man-to-man because he's going to be able to beat a guy on the dribble as opposed to dribbling into a zone and a guy on the backside.
I do think that he could give you a little bit more. I don't know if I'd put him in that space, but I do think one of the ways it would be is I think that would also be very encouraging because what that means is that a man has been able to kind of get some backdoor cuts and stuff, which he seems to flourish on.
If he has a big game, they've had to play some man defense.
Yes.
And that's what you want. If he has a big game, you know they've gotten some transition points, and that's what you want. So I would say the easy answer is Amen Thompson. Is it crazy to say Dylan Brooks?
It's one of the names I was thinking about.
Yeah.
It's one of the names because he seems to be one of those guys that when that ball is actually skipping around, which I'm not certain that you can absolutely get to, but hopefully you can as a Rockets team, he seems to benefit from being the shooter that then knocks down those on the catch and shoot. And he had five 3-pointers that he put up, and he knocked down two of them, which isn't terrible. But if that somehow expands, especially seeing as a lot of those open shots were going to Fred VanVleet in game one, if maybe some of those are ending up in Dylan Brooks' hands and an opportunity to knock him down, he does feel like he could be one of those guys. From the 281, Cam or Reed? And we've talked about this. I know that I've expressed how I don't know that those are the guys that I would turn to in that instance. Do you feel like they could be those guys, though?
Oh, for sure. But not in big dose, not for 20 plus points. What I'm looking for from those guys, especially Reed Sheppard, if he gets in the game, he may not even see the floor. But I think they're thinking about it because they miss so many threes. They need somebody to loosen up the Warriors' defense. It could be Cam, could be him. But just play 8 to 10 to 12 minutes at the most, knock down three threes or something like that, and I think that changes things.
You're deeply in series 3-4-6. They said it's going to be Dylan Brooks versus Draymond Green in a shootout. Wow. I do feel better about the Rockets' chances than that because Draymond does shoot like he has a backpack on. But someone brought up an answer that I think is absolutely a good one. Jabari Smith Jr.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see. It's one of the questions that I have for this game is how many minutes is he going to play? Is it possible that he even starts? Which would be interesting because Dylan Brooks is probably the guy that he gets those minutes for. And I think Dylan Brooks, I would still think maybe that he starts Dylan Brooks because he feels like he factors into that portion of the game plan that I don't think that you can let go of for the entirety of the series, which is leaning on Steph Curry, making him feel your physicality and seeing if that can help in a cumulative effect towards the end of the series of wearing him some level down, right? So I think that Dylan plays a big factor into that, and I'm not sure if I'd want to have him out of that starting lineup at the very least, where you can kind of line up his minutes with minutes where Steph's on the floor. But I do want to see some more from Jabari Smith Jr., especially seeing as he was shooting pretty well in game one. If you can get him more involved, even with some of those kickouts. But I almost wanted to go to maybe even some isolation opportunities where he's posted up.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that also comes down to, can you get them out of a zone? Because all of these, any isolation look, I think flounders when you have a zone that's able to kind of clamp down, because I don't know that you have a lot of great zone beaters.
Before we get out of here, give me your X factor. Predict your, call your shot, your X factor tonight.
X factor in this game.
For the Rockets, obviously.
For the Rockets.
Steven Adams.
Steven Adams is a good one. I think he's already there.
Get some points on top of some more minutes, and you're going to have 16 rebounds and who knows how many points.
Can I give you one that I think is a little bit off the beaten path, but I do think is a possibility?
Mm-hmm.
Number 17, Tari Eason.
Yeah.
When this team played the Warriors really well earlier this month, Tari Eason was a big part of that in like turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you can get, talking about getting into transition, if you can get some steals and get out in transition, which Tari Eason seems to do very well as mm-hmm. well, I think that you can now start at one, you know, ending some of those Warriors possessions, two, yeah. getting easy buckets, which this team needs a whole bunch. And maybe you could get, instead of 6 points from him in game one, maybe you can turn that up into a place where he has maybe 12, 15, especially mm-hmm. when you add his ability to knock down shots, which he didn't in game one,
right.
and hopefully comes around a little bit more
I don't mind
in game
that one.
Two. And I think Tari could be that for you. But there's a lot of guys that could be it. Someone needs to absolutely be it if this Rockets team wants to continue to push towards the goals that they've set for themselves, mm-hmm. the goals that moved beyond just making the playoffs and maybe making some noise. It starts with, you got to level this thing at 1-1,
yeah.
and that happens tonight. Toyota Center, 8:30
p.m. Or else it's effectively over?
Nope. I ain't saying none of that. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. And the Warriors.
You heard him, did you? I heard it, Figgy. Did you hear him?
No, you
got to win this game.
I think it's important to give you, especially to give you some confidence on the road. We talk about these young guys and being in this series. Right. Hopefully they're settling into the series. But if that changes again, when now it's not just a playoff game, but a playoff road game.
Yeah.
I'd much rather you face that 1-1 than 0-2 and add
it would be effectively
the level of pressure. Not necessarily, but I don't need to add more pressure to what these guys are working with. Giving yourself a little bit of leeway, I think, is going to be super important. Because, again, as I said, I don't think this is going to be a short series in either direction coming into this one. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. On this Wednesday, 8-3-2 is predicting 17-10-6 from a man with lockdown defense. I like that. I hope to see it for sure. But coming up next, this is typically the time where we hand it over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so we talked about earlier Shakespeare. Is it Shakespeare's Day or whatever? Yeah. It's actually World Book Day, National World Book Day.
Okay.
So I just want to get the top five reasons people don't want to read.
Oh.
713-572-4610. Plus, the boomers, they are shocked that Gen Zers don't really know what to include or really don't know some of the, I guess, different rules and stuff in life. So we're going to go through this list.
Okay. What are the Gen Zers not knowing about life? All right, let's go ahead and hit them the game. We'll do it next.
Yes, it is the mixtape and the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. The Rockets play tonight at Toyota Center. Remember, if you're going to be there, I need a vibe check, man.
Ah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, hit me up on anywhere at the Figgy Fig.
They just send you a video?
Yeah, just send me a video, man. Let me know how the vibes are, man.
But they got to talk to you. They got to tell you what's happening.
Yeah, tell me what's happening. Mm-hmm. You can show me what's going on. And, like, let's get the rowdy part. We ain't got to get, like, if it's a blowout or something,
don't even put that in the air, dog.
Yeah,
it's not going to be no. Well, if it's a blowout, it's a Rockets blowout, right?
Yeah,
put them vibes out.
Exactly. So, send it. If you're going to the game tonight, shoot it to me on Instagram, man, or Twitter. But today, we talked about it earlier about William Shakespeare.
Shakespeare Day, it's National Cherry Cheesecake Day.
Is it Shakespeare Day?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Yeah, so it's actually World Book Day. So the mm-hmm. UN made this an official holiday in 1995.
Okay.
It's April 23rd because William Shakespeare died in he died 409 years ago today in 1660.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think they say he was like 51 and 52. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Good run.
Back then.
Okay.
51 years. Yeah. I thought they used to live longer than that back in the day.
No.
Really?
Okay. Not the 1600s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of like typhoid and things like that.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm thinking about BC when they used to be like 200 years old.
Oh, yeah, like biblical.
Yeah.
this man was like
walking around 300
years old. I mean, Methuselah was out there, bro.
It's like 900 years old.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, what was the last book y'all read? Because I know this probably.
Completed?
Sure.
Okay. What was the last book I actually completed? It was probably Hakeem, or Dream, rather, the book by Miran Fader in the fall.
I can't remember the name of it. What was that book that came in and we both got one?
Dream.
Was it a Dream?
Yeah, the one about Hakeem.
Yeah, that's
from
probably
Miran
the
Fader.
Last one.
Okay. Probably the last one I finished. I'm currently, all right, that's, I'm going to be real nerdy. I'm sorry. I'm currently reading a book called The Color of Law about redlining and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but I was like, it's very nerdy. Apologies.
You did something nerdier than that, but we'll get to that later.
What'd I do?
I'll just continue, Figgy.
Wait a minute.
Remind me of the nerdiest thing that he's done, which is saying something.
Okay.
Why am I being attacked?
That, remind me before we get off the air on that. So, did y'all know 63 of us would like to read more and 66% have a collection of books at home, probably just lined up on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go through the top five excuses people use for not being able to read.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know which one hits me the most. So the first one is people say, I don't have enough time because of other activities.
That's number one for me. I used to read all the time, and I haven't read a whole lot very much lately.
I mean, the same. And one of the things I realize, I think about it a lot, because if you love sports, there's so much sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like there is, I don't know if we even appreciate it at times. We are living in such a golden age of just like quantity of sports to be able to consume in a relatively easy way. And I know it's funny to say that because there's also ways in which some of the sports that we want have become a little bit less easy to access by becoming, you know, hiding behind various different streamers or whatever. But the idea that, I mean, hell, Lopez, you were talking about Red Zone. The idea that you could watch all these out of market games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why All-Star games used to be just, you had no chance, no opportunity to watch some of these other teams.
You watched whatever was on TV. At that time, you didn't have cable.
No, time is number one for me. I wish I could do it more.
So others said, I prefer other forms of entertainment like TV, video games.
I actually prefer books if you have the time.
What a dork.
Because remind me of something he did. Right. But either way.
What? I'm being threatened
because
right now.
Because you
this
use your imagination so much more. Like, how many times have you read a book and then it became a movie and you kind of liked the book better, right?
100%.
Yeah, right? Because your imagination was working.
I'm very
imagination.
Often. I'm very often the dork. That was a nice SpongeBob reference. The dork that's like, no, the book was better.
Yeah.
And you know the place where I'm actually.
A lot of times it was.
I will stand on business behind this one.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights is better than all that stuff that y'all like. The TV show and the movie. I stand on this 100%.
So the next one is I don't have enough time because of work.
It's kind of like one.
Yeah. The next one is I don't have enough time because of my kids. And they blame their offspring for making them a bad reader. And this one kind of hit me the most, this last one. I had trouble focusing while reading.
That's actually a big one.
I have a hard time trying to focus on read. Like once I get into the book, then I'm rolling now.
Yeah,
I could be like chapter two, chapter three, and I'm just forcing myself to read. I'm just like, man, I don't feel like reading.
I think there's two things. One, we live in an era where we have so much input and stimuli that we're bad at like focusing on things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. But two, I think also there is kind of, I think school has ruined this for us because people did not develop a love of reading outside of like the obligations that you have to. And I think people treat reading as a completionist thing where once I started, I have to finish it. And no, you don't. Quit that book if you don't like it. Like, just jump off to another one, right?
You change channels, don't
people
you?
Are so comfortable with doing that with like a TV show. I watched two episodes. I didn't like it. I jumped out. But people, if they've decided that they want to read because if they feel like, or I'm assuming, I don't know for certain, but I'm assuming people feel like it means that, you know, they're reading to make them intellectual. And so if they don't want to read this, it says something about it or whatever. Nah, man, if you don't like that book, there's bad books too. Or books that just aren't your speed.
I think
drop that one, get another one.
I think it's as simple as you have to be into it. You have to really want to read that.
And sometimes it's the time, right? Yeah. Just like with the movie. There's sometimes you try and watch this movie, and I don't want to watch this right now. You circle back around to another time. You're like, actually, I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
So when was the last time? I guess I'm going to talk to Lopez because you got the grandchildren. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you read a children's book to them?
Oh, outside of the grandchildren was last weekend.
Okay, so you read to them pretty often.
I read with them pretty often. But before that,
is it
25, 30 years?
Okay.
Is it Llama Llama Red Pajama?
No, but I think she has that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she has that book.
Quality. Do she have, you talk about your granddaughter.
Yeah.
Do she have this book by Dr. Seuss called Mr. Brown, Can You Moo? Can you? Mr. Brown Can Moo? Can you?
No, I don't remember seeing that one. She's got like a little bookshelf and everything that everybody gives her books, but I don't remember that one.
You might have to get that book for her so you can read this book.
You like it?
I think it's pretty cool, especially the way this person right here read this book right here. So this is this person reading, what's the name of this book, Dr. Seuss book? Mr. Brown Can Moo, Can You.
Yeah.
I want to see if Lopez will read this book like this.
Yo, this is Mr. Brown Can Moo, Can You, written by Dr. Seuss, and I'm going to wrap this book. Oh, the wonderful things Mr. Brown can do. He can go like a cow. He can go moo moo. Mr. Brown can't do it, man. How about you? He can go like a bee. Mr. Brown can buzz. How about you? Can he go buzz buzz? He can go like a cork. Pop 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 pop. He can go like horse feet. Clop clop clop. He can go eek eek like a squeaky shoe. He can go like a rooster. Cock a doodle doo. He can go like an owl. Hoo hoo.
He's reading the book.
I know. Cock a doodle doo. Hoo hoo
hoo hoo. How about you? There's no way Lopez did. None whatsoever.
He can go like
absolutely not.
I got game, man.
Ain't no way.
You gotta do it, man.
I might. Might have to
you got that charisma? What that razz?
Don't do that. You said that razz. That's Chris.
That riz.
Yeah, you got it.
How many Dr. Seuss books can be amazing raps like that?
There's a few.
The crazy thing is, it's a lot of rappers that rap like that now.
Yeah.
Which is a little troubling.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at that. That's nice. From the 832, Taking Flak was the last book I read, honestly.
Not a baby.
I have that book on my shelf. It is one that I need to open up.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to talk about the boomers, man. Shout out to all the boomers out there.
Shout out to the boomers.
And we're going to pick on the
Are you technically a boomer?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm at the very tail end.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to pick on the Gen Z right now, man. Mm-hmm. So let me know.
I'm not picking on the Gen Z. Y'all don't bring your ire to me. I don't want you being your TikToks. Leave me alone. I didn't do it.
I just want to know if this stuff is accurate. So it's a lot of common skills out there that boomers are shocked that Gen Z don't know how to do these
things. Right, these tasks.
Yeah, so I'm going to go through the list real quick. Know how to read a map and figure out directions without GPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, I could probably read up. If you give me a map, I could probably tell. It might take me a minute, but I could find my way home.
That's embarrassing.
Oh, I'm very good with a map, but I just generally am blessed in that way with the spatial awareness.
I grew up to MapQuest, where we had to go to the library and print out MapQuest.
Okay, well, so you can kind of do it.
Yeah, I could figure it out. But number two is how to address a piece of mail.
Also embarrassing if you don't know how to do that.
Is that embarrassing? Okay.
Yeah.
How to unclog a toilet using a plunger.
How is that generational? That shouldn't every generation, they haven't changed the toilet in 100 years.
That is a point. Which, why haven't we changed the toilet? I feel like, was it just engineered so perfectly to start?
Yeah.
I feel like if something is wrong with the toilet.
Doesn't matter what generation you are.
I feel like you will try to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't think somebody just not going to do it and just call a plunger or call a plumber or something like that.
Well, I feel like, you know what? That's one of those things where people don't know until, I think we have taken the technology and we're like, I don't actually have to keep that in my head because when I need it, I will Google it and I will go to YouTube University and I will figure out how to do it in that moment. I feel like that's that. And I imagine this will come up like changing a tire. Is that one of them?
That's actually not on
not, but I feel like those are some of like the everyday ones that as a boomer you had to know because you couldn't just like figure that out on the go when it did come up. But I think more than times
think AAA
now, people like
took that away.
It's fine, I'll figure it out when I need it.
Yeah. So, how to tell time with clock with the hands?
I get on the clock. That one, but it's still you should
an
be
analog
able to.
Clock.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
be able
just
to,
a regular clock like that. How to count change. How to type on the actual
people
keyboard.
Don't know how to count change.
I mean, when are they getting change?
You know that
change
that used to be like a whole module when you were in.
That was a lesson. That was a lesson in school
with like the plastic coins. Yeah. Did you ever have that joint?
Yeah. Yeah, we used to play. We had a thing where we had to play store.
Yeah,
like hey, you got $1.
Yeah. But that's not really how our world works. How often
you
are you paying with
cash? Change?
If you had to, if you. Do you? You pay with because you're paying with cash. Like how, if you had to put a percentage on how often you paid with cash.
Oh, mine is less than 10%, but you still do it.
Dude, you're accounting for such a small account, a part of people's lives. And no, that is you talk less of how many people are just like a straight.
Less than
5%. How many people are even using cards? So many people are using like these NFC kind of tap. Yeah, man, I feel like
use my phone.
We're in a crazy
but
modern
still,
era. That's crazy.
We live in a world where you do get change.
Yeah, so I'm gonna run through these real quick. So how to mend clothes and sew on buttons. I do not know how to do that. I should know how to do that. I wasn't paying attention in school.
I wasn't. I have a button that needs to be mended right now.
Yeah,
that's one of those things I've never been able to learn.
I did not give a damn about that. Yeah. How to cook? I know how to cook a little bit, but I'm not making Thanksgiving dinner or anything like that.
Yeah.
One of the things that's funny about cooking is that once you start doing it, it really is just following instructions. Like if you can follow instructions, you can be a passable cook. You're not going to be a great one because that's where the art comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be a passable cook. It's just, can you follow instructions?
And, yeah.
And once you get into it, a lot of times it sucks you in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think some of it for me.
I'm sorry. I'm still a child. I apologize. I'm 33, but still a child.
All right. Moving on. How to write a check. How to do basic handyman skills. I think a lot of people kind of lost that art because I think people, dads used to do a lot of handyman work. And now, you know, you kind of growing up not doing the handyman work. How to write in cursive. I actually forgot how to write in cursive.
They don't even teach it anymore.
Yeah. I used to write in cursive up into third grade. Mm-hmm. And then once I went to public school, then they didn't require you to write in cursive. So I wasn't writing in cursive.
Wait, hold on. We have somebody adding in. Appreciate people being our impromptu correspondents. Somebody on the text line from the 832 said their kids in third grade just went through a money change counting learning module.
Good.
So apparently we are still teaching that.
Salute.
Thank God. It's good to know that we still teaching the babies about some math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How to drive a stick shift.
Yeah.
I get it, but I feel like it's something everybody should do. It's
how many of them are there?
I know.
No,
there are like sports cars for
there
sure.
There are some.
Yeah.
There aren't as many.
To me, that seemed like a luxury at that point. How to read Roman numeral.
Thank you to the Super Bowl for teaching me that.
Yeah, that's some. We actually learned how to do that. And the last one, use non-mobile technology.
Non-mobile technology, like what?
I'm trying to think. What all are we talking about? I don't know.
Yeah.
It didn't really come to mind. Mm-hmm. Somebody said they pay with cash almost 70% of the time. Wow.
Some people do.
Rural area.
Yeah, some people do.
I was about to say something that was not going to be fair to you. But I understand that in a rural area. And honestly, in a great city like Houston, Texas, if you keep a little cash on you, you can make some stuff shake. I mean, talk less of how many times did you just pass by the gas station? Like, I could save some money just paying the cash.
Yeah.
All right. I get y'all out of here on this. So okay. I sent y'all this text message of this movie trailer. And I think I asked the question, is this technically a sports movie?
Mm.
It was a trailer for the movie Him, which is a movie produced by Jordan Peele and directed by Justin Tipping. And this movie follows a college quarterback who is taken into a sinister world by his idol to see if he's willing to sacrifice for fame. And this movie come out September 19th. And I just want to know, we going to see this movie as a family?
No.
Why I'm going to need more information. I'm going to need more information.
It does nothing
you
for me.
You need more information about the Jordan Peele movie?
Yes.
It's not the exact Jordan Peele you thought you'd get.
And
though,
it's Jordan Peele produced.
It's exactly what Jordan Peele always. I feel like he always do these type of spins, like a regular movie, and just turn it dark.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
And this is something I will admit, and if you want to call me any type of name, you can. You have my blessing to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do recreational scare. Like I know that I don't enjoy being scared, so I don't watch horror.
It's a sports movie though, man.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Like if it's going to be on that horror front between like horror and thriller, a thriller.
I'm not going to pass judgment, but I'm not into it.
So
I think
that's why I said I need more information. Yeah. You give me a little more information on whether or not it's actually like really delves into that horror space, I'll have a little bit of a better idea of whether I'm in on watching it.
The funny comment I saw under that post was, oh, this is a movie about C.J. Stroud going to Michael Rubin's party.
Wow. Yeah, somebody said it's a Diddy story, but different.
Oh, man.
People
what
were talking.
What would you do for fame?
People were sending in other stuff. As everybody's now just trying to dunk on Gen Z, balancing a checkbook, reading a map you mentioned. Encyclopedias. But, like, why would you? I mean, you don't need them.
Why would you do that?
You got Wikipedia.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Put that in the search bar, and you will be all right. All right. Appreciate you, Figgy. That is Figgy's mixtape every weekday.
We gotta
right
see
here.
That movie as a family, though, man.
We'll see.
Let me know how it goes.
Come on, man. So, are you scared of scary movies?
No, I don't get them. Like, kind of like you, I'm just like, why?
I'll say yes. I don't care.
Well, it's not scared. It's kind of like a waste of time. Yeah, I guess I'm too, I think too much like, okay, well.
I'm a scared
like,
cat. I don't care.
I feel like you are scared.
Scared cat.
Lopez be in the movie theater.
Shout out to Doc Hooligan. Scared cat.
I'll be holding Figgy's arm. I'll be holding Figgy's arm.
He be holding his ears like my wife. She like closed her
she
ears.
So her, she can't, not her eyes, her ears?
No, she like closed her ears because the
jump scare sounds and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, when she thinks something about to be scary, she just closed her ears.
And my wife covers her eyes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Figgy's mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at The Figgy Fig. If you have something that's mixtape worthy, including a vibe check.
Vibe check tonight, man.
That's right. That's right.
If you're going to the game tonight, man, send me a video of the vibes.
100%. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to chat with the fellas of the drive. Before we do that, though, more insight on who might be looking to trade in the draft and what that could mean for the Texans. We'll do it next. I'm going to be entirely honest, as I appreciate everybody who's rocked with us on this Wednesday in the loop. Excited for the Rockets, but on the phone line is Larry and Stafford, and I have no idea where he wants to go. So what's popping, Larry?
It's all good, Reggie. You don't need to know, man. I just need you to buckle up for a minute. Uh-oh. Look here, man. We're gonna talk about these Texans real quick. You know, I've been hearing all offseason that, you know, Cole Popovich is just a great offensive, or not great, but he's going to be an upgrade as the offensive line coach, and that Nick Cady over there is going to install a system that we can all be proud of. But then I keep seeing all these fools with these mock drafts talking about the Texans are going to trade their 25th and 58th pick to move up to get an offensive lineman. Are y'all ass crazy? What are y'all talking about, man? Look. We know what we need over there. We need firepower on offense. I've been saying this all week. I can find an offensive lineman in the second, third, or fourth round. I need me another wide receiver or that tight end, man, that can go out there and make people respect my offense with CJ. And now that we have found and got word that CJ Stroud is going to be in control of the whole offense, I'm expecting him to look like he did in the Peach Bowl against Georgia, because when he got weapons, we all going to eat over there on Kirby. Now, Lopez, this is you and Larry time right now.
Uh-oh, all right. ISO.
All right.
Lopez, Reggie and Figgy kind of young, and we respect that. Now, I know I heard Figgy say that he has no desire to cook Thanksgiving food, or Reggie said they don't want to cook Thanksgiving food. Let me help you boys out. If your wife walk her ass in that kitchen butt-ass naked with them things jingling, your ass will be over there basting a turkey and frying a turkey and peeling sweet potatoes until your hands cannot stand sweet potatoes no more. You boys be missing out, man. I don't understand you youngsters. Do y'all not understand the game? The game is to get women out of clothes. And if they ass want you to get in that kitchen and cook, your ass better figure out how to get in there and cook, because the fun part about cooking is watching them eat and then when they done what they want to eat. You boys need to understand what the game is. Reggie, I'm going to spend more time with you. Figgy, your ass is from Cleveland. You should know better, and I'll holler.
He's talking about the game within the game.
Yeah. First of all, he might be talking to Reggie because I'm a married man, and my wife handle all the cooking.
No, but he's saying you should.
I should for what? Like, what's the
end goal? He just told you. You want to see him naked.
Like I said, I'm a married man. Like, this is a regular Tuesday for me, man. Like, I ain't got to do all of this for Thanksgiving to see my wife that I see every single day. Like, we have a rapport already. So,
there's an agreement, there's an understanding.
I'm good there, yeah. I'm not cooking no Thanksgiving for everybody else.
That's hilarious. I don't think I said anything about cooking Thanksgiving dinner. I think I was talking to just general about, hey, you know, cooking is relatively easy to make sure. You know, it's just following directions. I actually enjoy cooking when I do it for a large group or for, you know, a nice young lady. So, no, I know what you're talking about, Larry.
Why is that?
Because, you know, the weight to somebody's heart is through the stomach is what they be
you're
saying.
Darn right.
Something like that.
You're
I don't know.
Right.
I do want to go back to the Texans real quick. And, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, I know Larry has, as he said, he's well established that he's here to get some talent, right? Especially some weapons as we talk about for CJ Stroud. But I mean, the reporting continues to pile in, and it seems to go more and more towards the idea where the Texans are eyeing O-line, and particularly O-line of a particular kind of character. So I hear you, Larry. I hear what you're saying, but like, it seems like they're continually look towards the offensive line, and I can't say that I'm mad about it, considering that I don't think that would just be a move for this year. That's a move for years to come to add. And there's been conversation about Nick moving up, right, and maybe finding a trade partner to do so, as at the very least the two teams in front of them, in front of the Texans at 23 and 24, look like they're teams that could necessarily trade for an offensive lineman. Although the Vikings are an interesting team to maybe trade back, considering they only have four picks in this draft, and you know, getting more picks might be beneficial to them if somebody wants to trade back into the first round. But Diana Rossini put something out that was kind of interesting just not too long ago, maybe an hour ago, about the Los Angeles Rams, the team who has the 26th pick currently. Apparently, they were really in on the Brock Bowers situation last year, did not have an opportunity to get him, and that this year they might be interested in remedying that by going up in the draft to try and select one of those two more valuable tight ends, or the two highest rated tight ends in this draft, in either Tyler Warden or Colson Loveland. I don't know, you know, which of those guys they'd be more interested in, and I don't think I saw that in her reporting as I looked at it, rather cursory. But I thinking about it, I was like, if they are looking to trade up as well, that is where the competition is. I've seen a lot of reporters kind of talking about, when it comes to tomorrow, that there's a lot of teams high up that are looking to try and find trade partners to trade back, but maybe there's not a lot of teams interested. And I was like, if the Texans are in a place where they would want to trade forward, that would be an advantageous situation. No, that there's teams that want to trade back and maybe not a lot of dance partners, that would technically give you a little bit of ability to get you a better trade, would it not?
It would. Where it gets interesting is if the team right behind you is trying to trade up too, all of a sudden you have competition on the picks.
Right, and so
that's where it gets interesting.
If that is actually the case, I do find that interesting, especially because what particularly they're looking for is tight end, and there's possibilities that there might not even be a tight end available at 14, because the Colts seem like, if mock drafts are to be believed, consistently mocked a tight end, so maybe they take one of them. And the Bears seem to be a team that could be interested in Tyler Warren. So if you go take those together, Bears at 10, rather, just so you know. If you have 10 and 14, both looking at a tight end, there you go, you're done. But if they're looking to move up, it does feel like that could be in some of the same spaces that you'd be looking to maybe try and go get your offensive lineman. A lot of people believe Kelvin Banks, like I know that Daniel Jeremiah has said it, that the Texans won't pass on Kelvin Banks Jr. if he's there. But yeah, I found that to be interesting, on maybe something that would add a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of friction to the opportunity for the Texans.
It just makes it more complicated. If you're going to move up, then you have competition with, and they're offering this and you're offering that, and they up the offer. Then it just gets more complicated. You know, that's the issue. It's not like the position you would be drafting, because it would be different.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, we were talking about a little bit the teams that maybe would, you know, work with you. I know the Cardinals are one of those teams sitting at 16 that maybe, if the Texans are trying to move up and get higher, at least, than the Packers and the Vikings, who are teams that possibly could draft offensive linemen. Maybe that's a landing spot, but that's nine whole picks there to get up
that
place. And I do know that, you know, it seems like Nick Caserio be willing to pay, and you have the draft capital pay, especially considering that I don't think you could roster all the seven picks that you have available to you. So I don't know. I'm interested in seeing how this falls and what kind of more scuttlebutt we continue to get out here as we near closer and closer to NFL draft time.